Good evening, folks.
Good evening, sir.
I hesitate to ask this, but I'll do it and see what happens. Could we get a little closer, please? Hey, brother, I'm going to give you a big kiss. Oh, look at Mike, a man after my own heart. Now I can see you. That's right.
Oh, that's right. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Oh, I like it. I like it. Well, thank you, folks. That was my message. That was it. You like that? I'm not letting you go yet, but thank you. Thank you for doing that. It is kind of a point of the message, though. Let's ask God's blessing. And I'll start in prayer. I was going to say, we'll save some prayer time for a little bit later on where you guys can join, okay? Father in heaven, I thank you that you are there. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are exactly where you tell us you are, seated on your throne, Heavenly Father, never moving. Lord, never abdicating. Lord, you are faithful. You are true. Lord, I thank you for being such a wonderfully personal God. Lord, you've called us as your children. Lord, you've called us as family. Father, I pray that we would be able to see ourselves and see our church family, Lord, from your perspective today. Lord, I thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit you have given to your children. Lord, I pray that he would be actively stirring our hearts tonight. And Lord, I ask above all that you would stir my heart tonight. Lord, let the words that we speak, the attitude that we have, Lord, I pray that it would honor you and glorify you. And I just ask this in all sincerity in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. All right. He's been simplifying my life to kind of accommodate the fact that I'm a very simple guy. And this year has been a very interesting one. He's laid on my heart to begin what I'm going to call a love campaign. He's had me started in my life, so I figured I would invite you folks to join. And it's been convicting to realize how complicated I tend to make my Christian life. And really, when I boil it down, my Christian life is as simple as the fact that God loved me, sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of me, and show me how much he loves me. And he wants me to turn around and share that with other people. That's it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. and your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, sometimes we try it in the other order, and it doesn't work. And I got to looking at something that I actually spoke about maybe a month and a half ago in Sunday school. And forgive me if those of you who were there, but I'd like everybody to turn to Revelation chapter 2. I am going to cover a little bit of ground. I talked about this in that Sunday school class. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is really covering seven churches, letters to seven churches. And the first one just floored me when I read it at the beginning of the year. And I want to ask just something to think about. If God were to write a letter and send it to First Baptist of Fenton, would you want to read it? Would it be an encouraging letter? Pardon? It would be bound to be, because it is the Lord speaking. How about if he wrote a letter to you about your relationship with him? Would that be encouraging? Pardon? If God wrote a letter to you about your relationship with him, would that be encouraging? And those really do go hand in hand. Because as I look around with my one good eye, I see my brothers and sisters. Okay? I see people that I am spiritually related to. And I'd like to just address you as family tonight. Really, the question is, how is the family doing? And we all may see the church a little bit differently. And if you don't realize it, the person you're sitting next to you is probably very different than you are, right? The person that I was sitting next to before I came up here is very different than I am. But we've been married for 34 years, and somehow I've grown to love her more and more and more over that time, even though we're different. How in the world can that happen? By God's grace, thank you. That is the only way that happens, is by God's grace. You know, you realize as you look around here, we are quite a collection of people that God has chosen to put together in one body. And God has to be there. He has to give his grace for us to love each other and to cooperate, that body may function as it really should. I want to turn to a sad letter that's in Revelation chapter 2, the verse 6 verses. And could I have somebody read that for me, please? It would be a lot easier if you'd read it for me. Could I have a volunteer? Yes, 1 to 6. Okay. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, yes.
To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say to who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate.
Thank you, Bill. You know, there were quite the commendations. There's quite a list of commendations here sent to the Church of Ephesus. There's an awful lot of things they were doing right. They probably looked very impressive. But they had just one thing. God had one thing against them. And I can't think of a worse thing than that. What was the problem? They left their first love. You know, I had to run back and read. I've read the book of Ephesians a few times since then. And I'd say the Apostle Paul, he laid some wonderful groundwork. That is one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Ephesians. It is encouraging. It is so foundational to our faith and the love that we need to have for God and need to have for one another. And I was asking people that are smarter than I am, how long was it between the time that Paul founded the church at Ephesus and the time they received this letter? Does anybody have a pretty good, maybe just an educated guess as to how long the beginning of the church of Ephesus and when they received this letter saying they had left the first love? Generation? 40 years? Two generations?
I think it was less than a generation.
Okay. Okay, how can they do it? How could they do it? They were a church that, I'm certain, upstanding. Take a look at what they were doing. They had the truth down. They were identifying false prophets. Their deeds were wonderful. How could they leave their first love? Yeah, and left out. Okay, pardon?
Pride.
Okay. All right. That happens a little at a time.
They get caught up in their works.
Okay. Kind of rest on the things that they do, because that's what they do, right? And they were doing good things. Is it possible for that to happen to any church? Possible that it happens in many churches, right? How about if we take a look at that in a personal way? Is it possible to leave our first love? By the way, just so we all get on the same page, who is our first love?
Jesus Christ.
There's no question, is there? He is our first love. That is who they left. They left their first love. I'm always fascinated with the analogy of marriage and how it just lines up here. Our human nature is to get cool, okay? Our nature is that our love cools. When I can tell you that I've been married to Tracy for 34 years, I'm not standing up here bragging. I'm standing up here astounded that God can... No, not that you'll... Never mind, I won't get into it. It doesn't happen accidentally, does it? If you're sitting close enough to your spouse right now where, you know, it looks like you're sitting on top of each other, that's not an accident. Okay? That's purposeful. And really, as our relationship with our first love similar to our relationship with our spouse. In a lot of ways. In many ways. But as I went back and I looked at the book of Ephesians, I'm just going to summarize just very quickly what each chapter, what really stood out in each chapter to me. In chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, it's all about being in Christ. In Christ. The fact that when we are in Christ, we are acceptable and loved by God. And what we have in Christ is amazing. And that is all about a relationship, isn't it? Being in Christ is as close of a relationship as you can possibly have. Chapter 2, we're part of a family. We are part of a family. We're not the only one of God's kids. We have plenty of family here, which involves relationships. Chapter 3, we grow together. And can I please have somebody turn to Ephesians chapter 3? I want somebody to read verses 14 to 21 because this is the charge that they were given as a church. This was a letter that was sent there. And it's just kind of sad to read what this says and then to read the rebuke in the book of Revelation. So can somebody please read Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 21 for us? Krista? Thank you, Krista. To know the love of Christ, which is beyond comprehension, beyond knowledge. Does it sound like the Christian life is boring? Does it sound to you like the Christian life should be boring? I mean, that's a cube, isn't it? Width, height, length, depth. Isn't that a cube? I love to swim, and I could just imagine a huge swimming pool of Christ's love. I don't know why my imagination just considers there is no depth to the love of Christ. It's depthless. And we have the privilege of really in our Christian life trying to dive as deeply as we possibly can to understand and to accept that love of Christ that's given to us. And not only that, but I have a feeling when we're in that pool and we're just trying to reach the bottom, we're going to be able to share that love with anybody that comes near us. And that's exactly the way that it should be. In chapter 4, we hear talk about unity, the body working together. Relationships, okay? In chapter 5, we see that, right, and I believe it's verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit and what that looks like. And then we get an in-depth look as to a husband and wife's relationship. And if you really want to have the relationship with your spouse that God intends you to have, you'd better be filled with the Spirit. I had better be filled with the Spirit. Because God is after a closer relationship. And in chapter 6, we see different relationships that are listed there and how they should look, how God would have us to deal as Christians with each other in our different relationships. And then talking about not only the armor, but who it is we're fighting, who the real enemy is. Because oftentimes we get a person in our sights, or we get people in our sights, and they're not the enemy. The enemy is spiritual wickedness. But I tell you what, in this church and in any church you go to, Pastor talked, was it you that talked this morning, Pastor? I guess it was in Sunday school, in where Jesus went into the synagogue and there was a man that was demon-possessed. What was he doing there? You suppose there might be any demonic influences in our church? Yes. Satan goes to church. Satan would love to destroy this church. He would love to stir up dissension. He would love to get us to receive a letter just like the Ephesian church did. Well, you guys are doing a lot of great things, but you've left your first love. So when you take a look back in the book of Ephesians, it was all about God's relationship with his people and how he wanted those relationships between those people to be. God is a God of relationships. You know, when we fell in the garden and Adam and Eve fell for us, God didn't just shake his head and say, "Oh man, those knuckleheads. It really is a shame. I had great plans. For them." He got up. He got up and he came after us. He came after us because he really that desperately wanted a relationship with his children, with his creation. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we become his children. It's becoming very clear to me that God wants every bit of us. He wants us as close as we can get to him. And he provides that for us. As I had mentioned, I'm really talking really in two dimensions here. I'm talking about our church. But our church is made up of individuals. And I want everybody really to join me in just considering where we are in relationship with our first love. Where are you in your relationship with your first love? That has been the question on my heart this year. And, you know, it's a tough one to answer. I'm thinking back to when I became a Christian in 1978. And I like to think that I love God differently now than I did then. Okay, I'd like to think that I've grown a little bit and love him more differently, just like I love my wife more in a different way than I did when we were first married. I like to think that our love is deeper and richer. It may not look the same, but it needs to press on to really being a deeper love. And really the same thing is true in my relationship with God. I'm asking myself, you know, where I am in relationship with my first love. Let me ask you another question. Who is it that can make a positive difference here at First Baptist in Fenton? Pardon? Okay, let's be a little more specific. Me! Okay, who is it that can make a difference? Jesus makes the difference, and he uses each one of us. I think people sometimes get frustrated with me when they come to me and they ask me for some counsel, you know, especially people in their marriages. And you know what they typically do is come to me and they say, my spouse did this. I don't usually respond too well to that one. If a person comes to me with a problem, they're the key to the solution. That's one thing I've learned over the years. And when that person sees that they have something that they can do, it frees them up to actually let God work. You know, oftentimes when we have a difficulty with somebody or a situation, we plead, God, would you please change them? Would you please change them? Don't we? I'm waiting, God. If you change them, the situation will be different. Believe me, God wants to change you in difficult situations you're facing. I've learned that over the years. I had a friend who I'd go and whine about my wife. I'll tell you that. I whined about the things that she said, the things that she did. And anytime I did that, he said, Mark, I don't want to hear about what Tracy did. I don't want to hear about what Tracy said. Let's find out what God wants you to do. He's still my friend. In fact, he's one of the very best friends that I have. Because he'll let me have it when I need it. But you know, there is something freeing about understanding that I am not helpless in any situation I'm facing. I have opportunity to love the way God would have me to love. And somehow, he deals with situations through that. If somebody will be willing to humble themselves and make the first move, God does amazing things. I had told the Sunday school class about a couple that I know that were both waiting for each other to change. It was like just nose to nose. I mean, not literally, but it was like, would you please be godly and change so I can respond? And one of them got the idea from God to just recognize their sinfulness, confess their sinfulness to the other, and see what God did. And immediately, the other spouse broke down and confessed their sin. And they reconciled. It's ridiculous. God's ways are, I don't want to use the word ridiculous. God's ways are amazing. And they're usually just the opposite of the way we think they should go. Okay, I'm going to stand here till you recognize that you are the one that's wrong and you apologize to me. No, flip it upside down, and that's usually God's way. Okay? That's usually the way he does it. How was your first love? How was your relationship with your first love? You know, my wife and I have gone to church here for 4 years. We love Pastor Josh, love Pastor Don, love all the people here. I want this church to be the church that God would have it to be. But I'm as weak and frail, if not more so, than anybody here. Okay? God don't build on me. Well, somehow God uses the weak and the frail. Because when he uses the strong and the mighty, they usually end up getting the glory, and he doesn't share it. So he likes to use broken pieces. He likes to use people that nobody would guess that would ever amount to anything. He likes to use them. That is his way. That's just the way he does it. I'm qualified. Anybody else qualified? All right, we're all very qualified. So my desire is really to start a love campaign in this church. And we need to love one another because we're so lovable. Thank you for laughing. No, not because we're lovable. But in just the same way, God has grown me closer to himself because he had me marry a woman that's my opposite. And somehow, God uses people that you wouldn't suspect would change you for the good to do just that. The people that are next to you all around this church are not here because we are all alike. In fact, we're all very much opposite in many ways. But we have a common Savior, and that's all we need. And the love that He flows into us, He wants us to let it out to those around us. It is so easy in this life, you know, to be quick to judge, to be quick to want our own way. Because, of course, that's the only way, right? The way you see it is true. You don't know, this is my weird humor, okay? Really, God is the one with the master plan. He didn't let me peek at it, okay? And he really didn't even ask my approval. I know, you guys are astounded, aren't you? He just wants me to do my part. And he's introduced me to people that I don't have an awful lot in common with. But I'll tell you what, if you get close enough, I'm probably going to grab you and give you a hug because you're my brother and my sister in the Lord. And by God's grace, I am just plain going to love you no matter what. Is it always easy? Well, is it always easy for Christ to love me? I mean, really, as lovable as I am? I speak silliness. I'm just going to challenge you. Before we turn our attention to getting our first love where it should be with the church, it needs to happen right here, okay? It needs to happen in me, and it needs to happen in each one of us. You know, we oftentimes come to church and we try to do God's work without really getting filled up in our relationship with God. We're going to run out of gas, folks, okay? We have to take a dive in the love of Christ. And let me just say, every day, okay? We absolutely have to pursue our Savior and that relationship every day. If I talked with my wife every third day, how close do you think we'd be? I mean, really, think about it. How close would you be with your mate if you talked to each other occasionally? You went home occasionally. What? Really, think about it. It's not rocket science. You've got to, and I have to, stay at the source of love so that I can let that love flow through me. It's simple. It's very simple. So that first love, you remember the first love, guys and gals. You couldn't leave each other alone. I'll leave that right there. But In our love for Christ, it cannot be down the list of priorities. It cannot. It absolutely can't. It has to be the number one thing that we do. Spend that time. Not scrap time, but our best time. Really, it's the best time. We need to give it to God regularly. And let's see what God does here, okay? see what God does. I want to see what God can do in me. Lord willing, you've got a burning desire to see what God does in you. And I don't think we'll have to worry too much about First Baptist Church at that point. You agree? It only takes one person to change a church. Lord willing, that person's you. I've asked Pastor Josh for permission in future services, probably Sunday night, to have time to let us know how that relationship is going, how you're pursuing your first love. You know, I've gotten to the point anymore where I really won't put my Bible down until God tells me something specific. I just beg him for it. I don't want to read this so that I can spout facts to people. I don't want to pick it up for that reason. I want to pick it up because that's God's love letter to me. Please, Lord, tell me exactly what you want me to know. It's a living book. He tells you exactly what he needs to tell you. But I have a feeling we have to be listening. And we have to really be sincerely asking. So please, I challenge you. Grab your Bible. When you get home, if you can't wait, do it when you get home. Do it tomorrow morning. But please, pursue that first love. And I'm curious where God is going to take this church this year as far as the love campaign. We still have a minute. See, I can't see the clock. So, do we have somebody who wants to say something for a minute before we go? Speechless, huh? Dear Father in heaven, Lord, as we look to you, Lord, we oftentimes we realize that you are God, but Lord, we oftentimes don't look to you long enough to realize that you're Daddy. Lord, you have arms that you want to enfold us in. Father, I thank you that you are a wonderfully personal God. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in each one of our hearts, that we may stop and realize, Lord, we may not be far from our first love, but I have a feeling we could be closer. Lord, let us, I pray, pursue you with all of our heart. And Lord, that takes your prompting and that takes your Holy Spirit. So draw us near to yourself. And Lord, please let us be loving to one another as we receive that precious love from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother.